Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Rivalry Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
A little screen to Lamar. Lamar's going to get the first down, and Lamar, he might go all the way. 30. He's at the 20. He's got enough speed to go to the house.
Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup. Oregon versus Oregon State.
Why do you just blindly follow and support everything that your program does? And I'm sitting in my living room watching this game, having this bad feeling because I've seen this game a million times in my life.
It's Rivalry Week. On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Spray on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Okay.
Hello, hello, hello. Happy hump day, everybody.
What is happening? Wait for it.
Careful.
Wait for it.
The what is happening, Mike?
That was aggressive.
Dry heave.
A little over the top. I think all systems are cleared. I think we're good. There's nothing left in the body to excavate.
That's
and
good.
We'll see how the rest of the show goes. Because I've not reached the point where I'm like starving. I haven't eaten anything in like a day.
Oh, I hate that feeling.
And now
yeah.
I'm like just ready to start eating.
Pounding bagels.
I'm terrified of what's going to happen when I start eating. So that'll be the journey over the next 4 hours.
There's a whole bag of almond roca caramel corn.
Yeah, we're going to go
there.
Ahead and stay away from the almond roca caramel corn. I don't know if that's going to swim well on my insides, if you know what I mean.
Two questions.
Yeah, what do you got, Bob?
Welcome back, first of all.
It's great to be back. I hate missing shows, especially one where I can come on and brag about Justin Herbert being 2-0.
Yeah.
That whole moment. I missed a Dirty Poll Tuesday. I got my Dirty Poll graphic ready to go. I was dialed in, dude. That was a tough show to miss.
Yeah, waking up, seeing a 2 a.m. text. I'm like, do I do the Dirty Poll by myself? I haven't got a graphic.
I mean, I can send you the graphic. I could have sent it to you.
It's okay.
Probably thought ahead on that.
A Dirty Poll on a hump day, I think, actually sounds kind of good.
Okay, let's do it today.
So, first of all, entire house food poisoning or just a dirt food poisoning, and we need a ruling.
Ah.
What was the culprit in your best guess? Because we talked about food items that we wouldn't want to see give us food poisoning, because usually you don't want to eat that food item for
A certain
amount of whatever.
Yeah, you want to stay away from it for a while. Me trying to figure out what gave me food poisoning is not easy to do. I'm not a beacon of a healthy diet, so there's currently a lot of different candidates.
What's your best guess, though?
My best guess is pretty simple, and I will say the company, because they've actually gotten food poisoning from there before, ironically.
Oh, no. You're going to say a company name on the air?
Well, I guess I don't have to. I still will eat there. It's not something that will keep me away from eating
really?
There. Really? Yeah. Well, okay. So long story short.
Without graphic details, please.
I won't get into how my night went on Monday night. I don't know how your guys' kids were when they were two. Mine is an incredibly picky eater.
Oh, it gets worse, actually.
Like, it just is.
Wait till he's six.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wait till he's eight. Dad, I don't like this. I don't like that.
Well, at least I had to appreciate words instead of food flying all over the dining room, which is, that's wonderful when you spend time making a meal. And it's like, let's sit down and have dinner, buddy. And then food's on the wall. And you're like, all right, I guess I'm going to get up and go make something else now. Because there's a direct correlation. When he's not hungry, he sleeps through the night. And when he's hungry, he wakes up in the middle of the night. It's pretty easy science, right? So Monday I get home and I make him something before he takes his nap. I usually get home and hang out with him for a bit, make him some lunch, and then he goes down, refuse to eat what I made him. And I'm like, dude, I'm not doing this again. He was up in the middle of the night Sunday, and I had the thought to myself, I know what he will eat. I know what he will eat. He's going to eat something that's going to make him happy, and I'm going to order some fast food. So I make the call. Food gets delivered during his nap.
Okay.
And my prime candidate is, they screwed up my order and did not give me what I ordered. And one of the items in the order was a burger that tasted not fully warm, that just had mayonnaise on it. And it was like a warm mayonnaise burger.
Oh, yeah.
But I got to the point where it's like, I ordered it. I paid for it, so I'm going to eat it.
Is a fast food chain?
It's a fast food chain.
Are they on the fan?
I don't know. I don't know if they are or not. So.
Well, now I'm curious. I kind of want you to say it on the air.
We can connect some dots here. But okay. I got the food. I'm not going to not eat the food.
A burger with just mayonnaise?
Just mayonnaise.
Who
I don't know.
Who is this psycho that they screwed your order with?
No idea. But there's nothing worse than that when it gets dropped off and you're like, what is this? But all right. So I ate it. And I remember eating it and wondering, does it taste weird because it's not fully cooked? Or does it taste weird because who wants a burger with just mayonnaise? Yeah. And I'm like, whatever.
Did the meat look pink?
I didn't really look at the meat. I just kind of ate it, if I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't really do a full dive on the color of the meat.
Okay.
And so that's how it, that's my prime suspect.
That's your guess.
That's my number one. They're doing the prop walk, right? Or the perp walk. Is that what I'm looking for? Yeah. You know, we're taking the photos. We're going left and right. We're making them turn. That's candidate number one. And it was okay for most of the day. And then it kind of around 8, I'm like, what is that? What's going on down here? And then next thing I know, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
and,
you? It wasn't
It was just me. It was just me. Thank God. The wife is at work, so she didn't eat any of it.
That's
so
great.
It was just me, and the little guy seems to be okay. No issues there. It was just me.
Now, your process of elimination, I find very well done.
Yeah.
Is there any remote chance there's a second place
second candidate
culprit in this?
Is there a second shooter? Is that what we're trying to figure out here?
Careful.
Yeah.
I'm more just curious, like, a frozen chicken nugget that you maybe undercooked.
Very well could have been. He's eating a lot of chicken nuggets right now. Hence, back to the
the picky eater thing. Yeah.
What can we figure out? And chicken nuggets are probably happening in my house about 4 times a week. He doesn't always eat all of them, and I'm not going to let food go to waste.
Well, you know, like at like the medal stand, you have first, second, and third, right?
Yeah.
Second really isn't. I have a hot take for you in the Olympics. Mm. Because of how often and hard these athletes have to work to get to that medal stand.
Yes.
I think first should be higher than it is above second.
Make you climb a ladder to get up there?
No. Actually, I wonder if we just drop the ground down.
Ooh, okay.
Second should be lower than it is from first because third is so much lower than first.
Third should be standing on the ground. Like you're there.
I agree with
that. You're in the picture.
You're
in the video.
You got a medal.
You got a medal, but you don't deserve to be on a podium.
Yeah.
And then you go one podium up a second, and then high podium is first.
I think first should be way higher on the medal stand. I guess what my question in here and the reason I'm bringing that up is there one that you would say burger with just mayo that might have been not cooked properly. First of all,
what are we doing?
I want to know who you are because why would you ever order that? That sounds beyond disgusting. I like mayo. I'm going swag here. That is the most disgusting burger order I've ever heard in my life.
I would never put just mayonnaise on a burger. If you want to mix it with ketchup,
just eat it plain.
I would rather just eat a plain burger.
Okay, so
and the other thing too was like no, and this there could have been other candidates on the burger, but there was like no cheese. There was nothing else.
So
it was
my
just
follow up:
bun, meat, and mayonnaise.
I was going to ask what the food item would be that would be close second if there even was one, but I'm going to pivot out of that question.
Yeah, well, again, it gets back to being I'm not a beacon of healthy eating here. I don't think that's a secret on the show. I think we're very honest and open up front with that.
Yeah, but your stomach wasn't rumbling until that burger got in it.
No,
right?
It was not. That's why.
Because normally that would indicate that your stomach can handle
mostly
almost
everything.
Anything.
Yeah. I can handle a steak that's basically right off the cow and be okay.
Sure.
Like I've built my stomach up to be able to withstand that level of attack.
Well, this is going to be a controversial comment on food.
Sure.
And I'm sure I'm going to get blown up in the comments. I did read once, steak, order it raw. You want to eat it?
Yeah.
You know, barely cooked? Go ahead. I don't like it that way. I don't like chewy steak that's red and pink and cold. Burger? I don't understand people that do the whole medium rare burger thing. Ground beef is different. I never will mess with it.
Yes.
I will always say, cook that burger patty, please. I don't want to see any pink in
it. When there's direct pink inside the burger, it's an uncomfortable feeling.
I don't like
it. Uh-oh. And then especially when the bite isn't as warm as it should be, that's when you're just like, dude, I'm eating slime right now.
So, like, I guess maybe you're just throwing at your wits end by your child here.
Yes.
And I would totally understand that.
Yes.
Why did you not add ketchup to at least make a burger sauce out of the mayonnaise situation or take the patty off and say, I'm going to cook with mayonnaise on it a little bit, but I'm going to cook this thing?
You know, these are all valid arguments. These are all valid points that I don't really have a good response to.
All you have to do is say fussy two-year-old. Fussy two-year-old.
pissed off dirt.
I'm just
no patience.
It was right. It
bad
was,
burger.
He was napping too. Like I ordered it while he was napping, so food would happen when he woke up. And I'm hungry, and I hadn't eaten anything after the show. And I'm like, it showed up. I grab it out of the. I didn't even notice the burger wasn't what I wanted until I took the first bite of it. I didn't even look at it because you order. I thought I got what I ordered. You take it out, take a bite, and then it's like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
And then at that point, I had already taken a bite, so I might as well
did
finish the entire
call
thing.
Call said establishment back later.
I did not.
He's too passive.
Okay. I'm too passive to do that. I don't send food back when it's delivered wrong.
Okay, so I'm also going to tell you something that you probably won't believe in this moment right now, but in 5 years, if we're still doing a show, I'd love a check-in on this question or in this comment, okay?
Okay.
Swag, feel free to chime in here after I make my comment if you agree with this.
Okay.
Your son is 45 years old now. Yeah. He's grown. He's almost going to have a family.
You have been through this journey earlier than I have.
As somebody with a 13 and 9-year-old.
Yes.
And as somebody who is overwhelmingly the cook in the house.
Yes.
Okay. My wife cooks dinner. It's like, wow. Okay.
Same over here.
That's okay.
Yes.
I like cooking. I'm also not a chef, and I have a ton of meals that I would voluntarily tell you, very mid. I'll eat it and like, not great. I totally agree. But in moments where I cook something and I'm like, this is pretty good.
You know, I did a good one here.
I would make an argument, as pissed off as you get watching your kid take that little bowl of peas and take your pork chops and just toss them off. And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It actually hurts you more when your child tells you, this isn't good.
This tastes like crap, Dad. I'm not eating this.
It hurts your feelings more when they're old enough to tell you, your food's terrible, than it is to watch a child and an infant just throw things off of their high chair.
Yeah, I could see that. At least at that point, they can communicate with you what they're in the mood for or what they're willing to eat, I would hope.
Right.
If they don't do that, then it's a double whammy. But I don't disagree with you, because that's a shot at the ego.
It hurts.
If I felt like I cooked, because I'm with you. Like, I would say of the dinners that I cook, 60% of them are pretty solid. I'm like, hey, that's not bad.
Sure.
And then there's the ones you're like, why am I cooking? I don't want to cook tonight.
I agree
this
with
is
you.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Like, what are we throwing together?
That's a good ratio.
In like 20 minutes that is ready to go, that everybody will be at least have a full stomach going to bed tonight.
Right.
And that's about 40% of the time. If it's one that I put time and effort into, those are the ones that hurt. And if it's thrown, it's bad. If I'm told that it sucks, that's a bruise.
Yeah.
That'll hit you harder.
It does.
Yeah.
I soft boiled. Listen to this. I soft boiled Yukon Gold potatoes for 30 minutes.
That's time and effort that's going into food prep. And
Well, then I took them out soft enough.
Right.
We put some wax paper over. We slowly pressed, mashed down, kept it as one.
Right.
And then I cooked it on the flat top with butter.
That sounds delightful.
Yeah. So it's like a baked potato crisp.
Yeah.
And then I spread nice and evenly over it sour cream.
Cheese. Yes.
I cooked my own bacon crisp, chopped it, put little bacon bits on it. My kid turns to me. Ugh, what is this? You little bastard.
You have no idea how good you have it right now.
My mom never even thought of this.
Put this much time and effort into cooking a meal on a weekday especially?
You want hamburger helper? Yeah. You want tuna helper and you don't like fish? I'll take you to a dark place.
Tuna casseroles? That sounds good tonight? No, not really.
Spoiled ass
Sloppy
kids.
Joe's? You want some watered down Sloppy Joe's?
You want that some canned
good?
Sloppy Joe's?
There's a lot of those in our household.
I'll give it
kid.
To you.
There's not a lot of time to cook dinner. You got to throw something together at the last second. You're going to eat it whether you like it or not.
I think it pissed me off when she goes, can I get a cup of noodles? I'm like,
cup of noodles?
A cup of noodles.
At least those are cheap.
You know where they are.
It's about 45 seconds.
No. I cooked it. Eat it.
I understand.
I'm broken.
I know.
60-40 is a good ratio. 40% of the time, I'm like, why did I try this?
Yeah, it's demoralizing, man. It's not a good feeling when the kid starts throwing food. So I look for an easy way out. And I don't know how anybody makes their 2-year-old eat a like well-rounded diet. I just don't.
It's impossible.
It's impossible to do.
It's impossible.
And it's like, veggies are, 10% of the time they're actually getting eaten.
You know,
sometimes he likes a fruit and then that fruit's out.
And
then it's like
it.
I don't want to eat that fruit anymore. It's like, dude, you've been hammering bananas the last 3 weeks. Now you don't want to eat a
banana.
Now
he wants apples.
Okay, now you want apples. All right, then it's apples for a week. So we buy a bunch of apples, and then you make him apples, and he's not eating apples.
I'm going to call something out here, too. Always feel like storytelling will always be exaggerated, right? Like crucial moments or memories of our lives. I think a lot of the older people, I think a lot of you have lied, and I think a lot of your parents lied to you as well. this whole notion that back in the day, we had to clean the plate. You're liars. And you can say, my mom didn't let me leave the dinner table until everything was off that plate. That's absolute crap. That is a lie beyond lies. Now, did they make you sit there longer than we probably do to our kids?
Sure.
100% accurate.
You're not getting up for another 20 minutes or so, whether you like it or not.
I had some stare downs over broccoli when I was like...
Yeah, did you eat it or did you end up winning that, if you're being honest?
I eventually, about the third time around, broke them.
Oh,
yeah. So after a certain number of times as a parent, you're just like, whatever, I'm done. I don't want to deal with this anymore.
But I bet you...
Fixing me broccoli.
Yeah. He retells that story with, I always made Jason eat that broccoli off that plate. Because we're all liars and we all exaggerate and we mistell our stories all the time.
You telling me I didn't walk uphill to school both ways in snowstorms? Is that what you're telling me
barefoot.
Right now? Barefoot with a pair of shorts and a t-shirt on. Is that what you're telling me
it's
right
100%
now?
100% what I'm telling you.
I'm pretty sure I did that each way to school both ways.
They have gotten more candy ass as the generations have progressed.
They have, yeah.
You're not alone here, dude. Everybody has experienced the kid who likes the thing and then doesn't like the thing for no reason.
And then you just try and find an easy solution of, I know you're going to eat this because I've seen you eat it before and I know it's not good for you, but I don't really care anymore because I just want you to eat something. And I thought, you know what? I might as well get something for myself, and down I go.
Well, it's nice to have you back, Andrew.
I'm glad you're back.
It's good
glad
to be
you're
back.
Recovering.
Me and Swag had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yesterday, there was a lot going on yesterday, man. Trent Bray was going to get fired.
Well,
not really. Herbert's an MVP.
Herbert is a dark horse.
I missed the mail sack. The mail sack is my favorite 30 minutes of radio all week.
I kept questions
good.
To do a Wednesday mini mail
Thank
sack
you.
With you, okay?
Yeah, I appreciate
we went long,
that.
Bill had a lot. Dude. We had a lot to discuss.
Yes. I broke with Bill at 21.
Oh. So there wasn't a lot of time for a sack then. That's
no.
a pretty short, truncated sack.
Yeah, we did a kind of a,
that's a
segment
tiny
and a quarter of a
We did one scoop.
Sack,
yeah. We didn't do a full two scoops.
No two scoops? You got to get two scoops.
Want to remind you, make you feel better today. We are Kevin Durant days away from the Portland Trailblazers tipping things off.
Who did I miss yesterday? Who'd you do yesterday?
Dave Cowens.
Dave Cowens.
Yeah, Boston Celtic legend.
I think we forgot to do this on Monday. Did we forget Monday?
We did forget Monday. Yeah,
that happens.
I kicked myself in my own ass.
Okay.
Pulled the Jim Carrey liar liar, and it was Meta World Peace amount of days. 37.
Yeah, 37. Not many other 37s come to mind.
10 players ever have ever won the number.
Yeah.
Only 10 in the history of the NBA?
Only 10, according to Basketball Reference, have worn the number 37.
He did have to pick. He had a decision, because Nick Van Exel.
I love Nick the Quick.
Who didn't love Nick Van Exel?
But Meta World Peace is the right answer.
Yeah, better player.
You got to be honest.
Malice
about
at the
things.
Palace. Yeah. You know, it's big. He won a couple titles.
So 35 days away from Trailblazer basketball being back in your life.
It's almost here, buddy.
We're 35 days away from you being told after they're 1-0.
Wait, what?
We're winning the chip.
You're 35 days away from the segment of me saying, wait, they're playing now?
Yeah.
It started already?
Yeah.
What? He's here? It's going on?
Things are better. Terry Porter's a scout now, so.
Oh, I missed that announcement.
Yeah, he's a scout.
He's going to use his Portland pilot experience.
Brian Grant
is a basketball
liaison. No, TP's a scout.
Yeah.
Do we feel good about that?
All right. Well, we won't address that much.
No. Moving on.
4 years of Portland pilot basketball. Okay. Let's start with this one. How about some interesting... 5 years. Thank you for the correction there, voice of the pilots off the air. Let's start with this one. A little bit of a local flavor. Big news and... also depressing news. Start with that. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two guests today, 8 a.m. I had an idea yesterday. I wanted to talk with Bill Conley. It's been 3 games in, going into week 4.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, the season's almost over, man.
It's flying right by, dude.
So we're going to do what we call the Conley Quarterly.
Okay.
So there's, what, four groups of 3 weeks, so this will be the first one.
Okay, check in at about the halfway point.
Yeah. All right. And then see how he feels every 3 weeks as we progress through the season, who you like and who you buy in. I also have an Oregon State question for him because he is somebody that loves the sport.
Yes.
And I said yesterday they should just wipe everything off the map, restart, and go study Tulane for like a month and a half and say,
yeah, what's John Summerall doing down here that we're not doing?
What are they doing just overall? And then let's create that magic. So he'll join us at 8 a.m. And then our usual check-in you omitted off of the Twitter tease.
Well, yeah, I was spacing yesterday. I completely forgot. It hasn't been enough weeks yet for that one to be ingrained in my DNA. But we'll get there with Lucy Burge. Very
Lucy
excited.
Burge in the 9 a.m. hour. Also a Statter Story Wednesday.
Yes, it is.
So have your number ready. Yesterday, history was made.
It was.
Seattle Mariners.
Aha.
Win 10 straight. They beat the Kansas City Royals on the road.
They did.
And we had two home runs hit by one Cal Raleigh. Here's the first one.
Fly ball, right field, foul pole. It is fair and gone. Number 55, Cal Raleigh. Move over, Mick. Cal Raleigh is the new switch-hitting home run king.
So there's Aaron Goldsmith en route, and he breaks the tie with Mickey Mantle of most home runs by a switch hitter in Major League Baseball history. And then his incredible season continued on in the very next inning in the fourth. He did something historically for the franchise that we haven't seen in a long time.
Blasted. Center field, and oh, it disappeared! On back-to-back pitches seen tonight. It may never stop the year of Cal Raleigh. He has now tied Ken Griffey Jr. for the most home runs by a Mariner in a season.
So Cal Raleigh joins Jr. on the list of the most homers of the season, and they still got games to play, so he may become the franchise leader in most home runs in a single season.
Yeah.
M's get a big win for themselves, 12-5 over the Royals. But the story continues to be, as it has been all year for that team, Cal Raleigh.
Just hitting dumpers left
Can't
and
stop.
Right. Back-to-back pitches was pretty cool that it happened yesterday. Swag texted. He went double nickel, and here we go. He passed Mickey Mantle. And then to do it the very next inning where you hit another one, it's remarkable. Like, you're just kind of out of things to say about it at this point. We've talked about it when he got to, like, 30, and then when he got to 40, and then when he got to 50. It's just, it's amazing. And the lingering question that I have in the back of my mind is, will this be one of those random outlier stats that in, like, 10 years becomes a fun fact of, like, hey, you want to guess who has the most home runs for a switch hitter in baseball history? Remember that random catcher from the Mariners, Cal Raleigh? Like, is it that, or is this the start of a run where he becomes a
40-plus guy?
Right, a
year.
Dominant force and an AL MVP candidate kind of year in and year out on one of the most affordable contracts. Like, time will tell on the answer to that question. More importantly for them, they're hot at the right time, and they have basically locked up their postseason bid.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just a question of, can they win the division? Can they get a series at home? And how does that look, and who are you going to play? But they're going to the postseason, and I think for Mariner fans, that's pretty damn important. I never thought somebody would break Griffey's record. We just don't see home runs at that volume like we did back in the 90s, and I know he wasn't a steroid guy. That just is a number that has stood for 30 years, and to see it broken, now you then ask, lingering question once he does break it of, will somebody ever top this, or will this stand for the next 50 years?
I'm with you 100%. I never would have thought anybody and a Mariner jersey would be able to break that just because of how, even in that era, how crazy that many home runs was.
Yes, nearly 60 is pretty damn impressive.
I think you got to feel optimistic. Not only are they hot, I don't know about hot at the right time. I'd be 11 games.
Are you getting too hot too early?
11 games Uh-oh. Left, buddy.
Uh-oh, peaking too soon.
But I think the beauty, all jokes aside, the AL is, I think, pretty open for people. You can like maybe the Tigers more than the M's. You can maybe like the Blue Jays more than the M's. Maybe you worry about the Red Sox. I kind of look at things and I say, man, it's a coin flip for whoever's going to do it.
That's the way the baseball postseason is most years.
Of the time.
Just whoever gets hot at the right time is going to go on a run.
Well, their thing this year is they got an offense.
They
They've always just had pitching with no offense. Now they have offense, and Cal Raleigh's a driving force. So he's tied Jr. Almost feels like it's a guarantee he's going to break that record.
It'd be pretty surprising if he doesn't hit one the rest of the season.
You think he gets to 60. More. He needs four more for 60 with 11 games to go.
I mean, look, he's a guy who's all year hit him in bunches. Like, once he hits one, there's like, hey, all of a sudden five more were added on in the next week.
Two pitches, and he tied it yesterday.
He's feeling good, clearly, and maybe that ends up happening where you look up, you know, 4 days from now, or we're here on Monday saying, oh my God, Kyle Raleigh's at 59 on the brink of 60 going into the last week of the Major League Baseball season. It could happen. He's definitely going to hit one more and break Junior's record. 60 is a tall ass, though, at this point in the season.
Swag says his team is going to make him a serial killer.
Did they end up losing last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
They blew the bullpen. They got it back tied at six, yeah, and then Trinan comes in and gives up a three-run bomb in the top of the ninth. Yeah. Shohei, they had a 4-0 lead. Shohei no-hits him for five innings. They go to the bullpen.
Because why keep going with a guy with a no-no?
Exactly.
Well, he can't. I mean, they don't want to run him into the ground. Oh. He's hitting and he's pitching. Come on now.
Only paying him $1 billion over his life. Why run him into the ground?
Actually, currently only paying him $6 million this year somehow, some way, because that contract should be illegal.
It's mind-boggling.
You know, update, AL MVP update.
Yeah, what are the odds at right now?
Judge is minus 1,000.
Just an overwhelming.
Raleigh is 5-1. I won't. I'm going to be wrong here. I don't get it.
Was average, Sprague?
What era are we living in? Is this 1997 where we're touting batting average as a thing? Like, come on, man.
It's also holding one thing against him while not using the same logic in a different way against Aaron Judge.
100%.
Like, defensively, Cal Raleigh is, it's not even close who's the better defensive player. One guy is DH for the last month. Maybe he's back in the field now.
Is he going to win a Gold Glove, Raleigh?
I would imagine so.
You're going to be a Gold Glove catcher. You're going to have almost, maybe 60 dingers, and you're telling me you have no shot at the AL MVP? It's
more
ridiculous.
Home runs than anybody as a switch hitter in the history of the sport. Most home runs for an organization who has one of the best home run hitters in the history of the sport in that organization that held the single season record.
One of the best seasons from a player for an organization that largely just points to, we had a magical run in 95. Like, they haven't accomplished a lot, as we've noted.
No.
And you're telling me, like, that's a distant second place for this conversation?
Yeah, and it's not the only reason that Aaron Judge is probably going to win the MVP, but these are the kind of moments, I think, as a West Coast sports fan, that you just roll your eyes. And you say, like, switch the organizations. If Cal Raleigh breaks Mickey Mantle's record wearing a Yankee jersey,
it's probably minus 3,000.
And Aaron Judge is wearing a Mariner jersey, but he's hitting .330 and having a great year. It's just, there's different. Cal Raleigh's going to win the MVP. We deal with this with Heisman Trophy voting. We deal with it with MVPs in certain sports. Like, you're just going to get more consideration because Cal Raleigh's playing the game at 10 o'clock at night for East Coast MVP voters.
Wanted to welcome you back, too, as we pivot back into football. Welcome back to the Below 500 Club.
Hey, it's good to be there.
It's great to have you.
You know, we're hanging on. We're hanging on for dear life.
We've been there all season.
We've been there and then escaped and then been back and then escaped and then been back.
Kind of jealous. You know, you're like, oh, I'm a serial killer. My team loses again. I'm jealous. My team's not even in a conversation. At least you're in a conversation.
Yeah, I've just reached a point, like, I am genuinely excited for the baseball playoffs because they're a lot of fun and there's games on in the middle of the day and it's something to watch and talk about day. And I'm just kind of there. I know there's teams that still got to figure out, are you going to win a division? Are you going to make it? Are you a wild card? Like, there's still some stuff up for grabs. A lot of stuff has been locked down at this point. I'm ready for the postseason. We got 2 weeks to go.
Has a big change been a big problem? Next on The Fan. Well, we didn't get to it yesterday, so we've got to do it today. The Dirty Poll.
Dirty Poll, baby.
You got the graphic?
I got it ready to go.
All right,
yeah.
Great. Poll question is up. If Cal Raleigh was a Yankee and Aaron Judge was a Mariner, would Raleigh be the far and away favorite for AL MVP right now? Yes or no at Durton's break?
I also have a question for Mariner fans of, like, your history has obviously not been great. We don't need to revisit that. Does regular season success still do it for you as a fan now that you've been back to the playoffs? I know they missed the last 2 years, or at least the last year.
I think it was just last year.
Just last year.
They made it 2 years ago.
So 2 years ago they made it, then last year it just came up short. They had the big division lead and then let it slip. Like, does regular season success do anything for you, or have you reached a point where it was, like, great to end the drought?
Yeah.
But, like, if you go, this has been a fun season for them. I know they had their swoon and they went down. Now they've won 10 in a row. They're the hottest team in baseball. Something you don't win 10 games in a row very often.
It was three seasons ago.
So they missed the playoffs the last 2 years then.
Jeez.
But they've been, like, the last 2 years have been right there. They're the same team. They just didn't win as many one-run games.
Didn't make it, and they were a 54% winning percentage.
That's exactly where Jerry DePoto wants to be.
They're at 55 right now. Look at them.
But this year, like, you've added to the offense. You went and got a couple of bats at the deadline. Like, if you go and lose in the wild card round.
I mean, look, there's no doubt the heartbreak of baseball is always looming, especially for a franchise like that. So I was kind of thrown off by this the other day. We got off the show. We did the poll question, what's the bigger story in Seattle? the Mariners or the Seahawks. And I think what's a little misleading down here in our market is that Mariner fan isn't always Seahawk fan.
Yeah.
They're weird Portland fan who attached themselves to the closest possible baseball team.
Right.
But they didn't dare do that with football because probably when they were a kid, that team blew chunks.
Right.
Didn't have Ken Griffey Jr.
Right. If you're in our era and you grew up in the 90s, you probably grew up a Mariner fan because they were a lot of fun to watch.
You had Randy Johnson and Edgar. You know what I mean? Like, the list goes on. But they attached themselves to winning football teams is largely what happens.
I'm a Cowboy fan or a Niner fan or a...
I don't think our poll results are accurate. So I text our friend Ian Furness in Seattle and I said, what's the bigger story today? Because Luke Anderson told me it was the Mariners.
Yes.
And Furness said, Seahawks, close, but always Seahawks.
Right.
Because it's football.
It's football, and football's king.
And I'm kind of with you on the regular season.
Like, if I were a Mariner fan, I'd be excited. Like, this is great that my team's playing good, but also in the back of my mind, like, you got to do it when it matters.
And
like,
I think people in Seattle that are Mariner fans,
we're not a charity case. Like,
carry that.
Yeah.
I think people down here that are Mariner fans, they don't carry that. Mm. I think there's actually two different Mariner fans that exist 3.5 hours apart from each other.
Yeah.
So I think it's a valid question you ask. I think this can be fun.
Sure.
I think you could do something you haven't done since 01 and win your division.
Yes.
You can end your playoff, you know, streakless run here of 2-3 years. Like, that's great. You might have a legit shot to get to an ALCS.
Yeah, you're feeling good going into the postseason.
But yeah, dude, I would enjoy it, but also not put a lot of chips in it. I'd want to see it and hope that we could finally break through is where I would be if I was a fan of that franchise.
Like, and I'm not even telling you got to go World Series or bust this year. They made it to the divisional round last time they went and lost to the Astros, and Alvarez hit the walk-off home run, I didn't want to say, in game one.
Like, he can't do that anymore, right?
He can't do that right now. And I don't even know if they'll... I mean, they probably will make the playoffs, but we'll see. I would want to see some noise being made in terms of a run. Like, the American League is wide open this year.
An ALCS for me would
be a good year.
That's a great year. I'm happy. I could be heartbroken.
First ALCS in 20-plus years. If you get to a World Series, that's obviously a phenomenal season, whether you win or lose. Doesn't take away from the heartbreak of it, but just the idea. Like, Baltimore's in the back of my mind is a team that was built the right way, went to the playoffs back-to-back year. They didn't win a playoff. They didn't win a single game.
I know.
They got swept back-to-back years, and now they're... organization seems to be crumbling a little bit, and so you never want to take these runs for granted or have this thought, because of how young our staff is, we're going to be around for a long time. That's not the way baseball works.
Right.
You got to strike while the iron's hot, buddy.
I think it's a valid question.
Yeah.
I do think that our local Mariner fans, I know we hear from you all the time, and we don't talk enough about them, but I also don't think you are necessarily representative of the Seattle-based Mariner fan.
Yeah, somebody, one of our people, said, no, regular season success means nothing. It doesn't matter unless you win the last game of the season. Making the playoffs does help and makes us feel like we're going in the right direction. But in the end, if we miss the playoffs, lose in the ALCS, we still don't have a World Series.
Yeah, I mean, look, I will always counter a Mariner fan who trolls me about how bad my team is with get to a World Series.
Yeah, get to one. You're the only one who hasn't been to one.
But, like, also... I'm not going to troll you if you lose in the ALCS. It's a hell of an accomplishment. Like,
yeah.
Much like college football, and we have an angry college football coach right now.
Yes, we do. Lashing out.
Lashing out. You don't want me? I'll leave.
Things would be worse without me here.
Yeah, you won't. Also, are you on the internet a lot? Because that reaction told me he's on the internet a lot.
Without a doubt on the internet a lot.
I would look at a team like... I'm trying to think of a good one here. Like, if Vanderbilt ends up 9-3, I looked at their schedule yesterday because I'm like, could Vanderbilt be a playoff team this year?
3-0, man.
Boy, that schedule. Talk about a kick in the junk of a year where you actually might be playoff worthy with talent, but you just have back-to-back games where I'm like, damn, can you survive it?
Right.
If Vanderbilt's 9-3, remarkable.
That's a phenomenal year.
You'll be a little heartbroken you didn't maybe punch through in one of the games and get to a playoff, but if you go 9-3 with that schedule
at Vanderbilt,
hell yeah, brother. And that's what I would say to Mariner fan. If you only get to an ALCS this year,
you're still bummed because you haven't been to a World Series, but it's your first ALCS in 20 years. Like, yeah. I didn't feel this way 3 years ago. They made the playoffs, and it's like, all right, you got to get that monkey off your back. You got to end the drought. You haven't been forever.
It was the longest round sports.
In all of professional sports. So you got that out of the way. Yeah. And then you went and you won a series. You beat Toronto in the wild card round. You're like, all right, hey, we didn't just show up and not do anything. We showed up and we won a series, and you made it to the second round. Now is where the tough part comes of, like, is that good? Like, now you've raised the bar to that standard.
Can you get to the final four of it?
Then you say, hey, that was a phenomenal year.
Well, look at that. Baseball.
Baseball stuff, man.
Baseball stuff. Who had that, huh? My I had team the Cal was, Raleigh mention, and that was kind of it.
My team was eliminated and then uneliminated and now re-eliminated probably. So, you know. Excited for the playoffs, though. It does seem genuinely wide open this year.
I tend to agree with that, yeah.
In both the National League. Because in the National League, you got the Brewers, who are perennial chokers. Can this be the year that they're not a choker? Philly's knocked on the door for a number of years with this collection of players.
Oh, they're doing it again this
year. Doing it again. Schwarber's a free agent at the end of the season, so is he going to be gone? You got kind of an aging roster. Like, there's a thought of the window closing. I think the thing that we do a lot as sports fans, and this is not just true in baseball, but we always do this, like, we did this, a couple NBA teams, Sacramento and Memphis are prime examples of this, of like, hey.
We're kind of doing it here.
We're set up for success. Oh, yeah. And the next, look at this, we made the playoffs, and look at the way we're going. And it's like, that's not, how many times do we have to watch this and realize that's not how pro sports works.
No, not at all.
Like, you got a window, you got an opportunity, you got to go win it. It's not a, well, that was a good season because I know we're going to be good for the next 5 years. If I would have told Mariner fan 3 years ago with all these young arms and the pitching staff they built, hey, you're not going to make the playoffs the next 2 years? Like, that reality is around the corner for you if you don't win it all this year.
Baseball stuff!
Let's get to the segment I wanted to do here. A new thing that might not be a good thing. Next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get to the Dirty Pool at 7. So yesterday, after the show, I see our warlord himself, our boss, Ryan Cooley.
Yeah.
And I sneak into his office and I go, man, I was this close to sending a little group text to you and Joe Fish.
Ah.
I was close.
For the Cowboys and the Giants game?
I was waiting for the end.
For the final horn.
The neighbor touchdown. And then I'm like, oh, they got two timeouts. Like, and I told him I was close to sending that text because it would have been hilarious because Joe, nobody knows this, Joe behind the scenes emailed a congrats, welcome to Odyssey new hire.
Into a new employee.
Into an entire office response of, oh yeah, Giant fan, huh? Cowboys won 15 of the last 16. In a welcome to our office email.
I just also like, of all the fan bases that could talk trash in the NFL right now, the Cowboys are probably at the bottom of the list.
I get you've dominated the Giants. We get that, okay? But it's just an odd email to respond to an all-office email. Not even a hello, great to have you, and here's a fun side note. It was just Giants about 15 to 16, Cowboys. That was all it said. I'm like, that's a weird all-response email.
When was the last time you were in an NFC title game, huh?
He wasn't alive.
Because the Giants have been to a couple of them and won a couple Super Bowls this century.
But I told Cooley this, right? And then we started talking, and I have observed the exact same thing he observed. Now, he's a Giant fan. You could say, a little bitter, a little hurt, sour grapes. But I actually think it's a worthy topic. I think they have ruined our sport with the kickoff rule. So I just want you to guess. Maybe you know it, but I want you to guess. How many yards did the Cowboys gain for Aubrey to kick his field goal that tied it to send it to overtime?
I was watching, but I don't remember off the top of
my head. 20 yards.
20 yards, yeah.
We are in an era now where these kickers are casually knocking down 60-yard bombs.
Yes, they are.
So now I live in a world in that sport, which, okay, the kicker argument, separate. I live in a world where in that sport, I'm watching a defense feel defeated because they've held their opponent to the opponent's own 47-yard line now.
Well, not to mention, too, if you kick it for a touchback near the end of the game, which I don't think that the Cowboys did or the Giants did.
They did not. They kicked it off.
And then the guy returned it.
To Turpin, yeah.
Yeah. if you kick it into the end zone, you get it at the 35 now,
yeah,
if I'm not
35.
Wrong? You get it all
it's
the way to 35.
It's a 5-yard difference.
So, I mean, just to use this math, though, like if you kick the ball into the end zone at the end of a game situation because you kick it a little too far and the guy takes a knee on it and isn't the Steeler player who forgets.
20 yards and
you need
field
20
goal
yards and you can make a field goal.
And I'm not saying
that's two first downs.
Yeah, and like defense shouldn't be destroyed because they've given up 20 yards on a drive and then held the team on third down.
Yeah.
But in a weird way, they are. I understand that they wanted more rules, but I did not have myself coming in on a Wednesday saying me and Donald Trump agree on this kickoff rule is absolutely stupid.
Well, you combine it with what they're letting kickers do with balls, too, where now it's easier. And guys have stronger legs than they've ever had. That's certainly true, but also when you allow them to handle it before the game, like we joked about it on Monday, but it's 100% valid. Like, ask anybody who's ever kicked a ball. If you let them get up, get their hands on them and work them in and make sure the balls are exactly where they want them to be, it's going to help you tremendously. And so you have to.
Isn't Brady not allowed to do this?
Well, no, he was actually suspended for handling his own balls before the game, maybe taking a little bit of air out of them. When you combine the kickoff rule with what kickers can now do and how they can, you know, grease up the balls, if you will, and I'm with you. There's a bit of like, that seems. That's like Brett Boone hitting 60 home runs. Hmm. It's like that just doesn't.
It's not about
valid.
The kicker.
For me, part of it is, yeah. Because
it's ridiculous that they get the ball as far up as they do.
Right.
Because
you got to try and pin them. You got to try and kick it inside the 10-yard line for a return. But if you kick it too far, it goes into the end zone. You're at the 35. You kick it out of bounds, you're at the 35, I believe.
No, 40.
The 40-yard line, yeah. If you kick it out of bounds.
It's a 5-yard difference.
And then you can't start running until
the
guy catches the ball. And so now you're just, he's going to run it out to at least a 25, 30-yard line.
Do we have any evidence this is healthier for the players? Because if you're telling me this is just as dangerous as the original kickoff format.
Then go back to the original kickoff format?
Yeah, and look, yeah. I love touchdowns. I do. I probably come off on this show as I want 10-7 games, and I don't. But I will always kind of advocate to give the defense just a little bit. So, like, these offenses are really good.
Right.
What was wrong with coming out at the 20 and earning 80 yards
you go 80
or earning
yards?
45 yards for a field goal?
You go half the field. I'm okay with you kicking a field goal. If you pick up two first downs and you're in field goal range off of a routine kickoff, then, yeah, I'm with you 100%.
I think this is a stupid rule. Yeah. And the minute my team loses because a team gains 18 yards and some guy boots it 66 yards...
Yeah.
I'm going to be irate. I'm going to be pissed off.
Yeah. I feel this way still about the PAT rule. I can't stand it. Move it back to the 3-yard line. Make it easy. Why are we putting so much importance on a random play?
Because they want your attention.
It counts from 1 point and it can ruin a season. Niners, you can argue, lost the Super Bowl a couple years ago because they had a PAT blocked. If you're kicking that thing from the 3-yard line, you ain't missing that.
The funny thing about that PAT change, they're not wrong in the keep your attention thing.
It definitely does.
But I've also just kind of conditioned myself that if I need to go to the bathroom or get a snack, I'll just come back and go, oh, the Niner kicker missed the very first PAT.
This is great.
We got Jake Moody back out there.
This is great. Things are going in the right direction here.
And I don't know if they can actually track if it's keeping people watching that much longer because you have no evidence.
No.
Tom's sitting in his couch an extra blank amount of time.
He's not turning that channel yet. He's got to wait, make sure the 7's good, and then we'll change the channel. The kickoff rule is the same thing where it just feels like it has ruined the start of games more so than anything else. Like run-of-the-mill kickoff later in the game, I'm still with you on the overall thought of a kicker getting into field goal range easier at the end of the game. Like middle of the game, second quarter kickoff doesn't do anything for me. Opening kickoff used to mean something in this country.
Well, you're getting more returns with it.
You're getting more returns.
It's just the way they're doing it.
You had to cook the book so much that now it's a 35 or the 40, or if you got a fall on the ball, it's not a dead ball if it goes in the end zone.
Right.
That could be a touchdown for the other team.
Right.
You're swinging games instead of just kicking it off like a normal person
should. I agree.
Just have the old kickoff rule. Let the cameras flash. Let everybody run down the field. Let's make it like old times again, all right?
We wanted to make it safer, but let's add an 18th game.
Another regular season game and make you play a bunch of preseason games, too, on top of it.
Loaded second hour of the program. We will get to the Dirty Poll release. We've got an angry college football coach. We've got a mini mail sack to talk about. Some of the college football dealings. Loaded hour number two, Dirt and Sprague. Back with the Dirty Poll on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.